Well, that the British Empire would be proud of.
Quite the MB.
Hello and welcome to Too Much Time on Our Hands podcast. This is part two of the Cinema Continues pod. That's what the retitled Marvel and Marvel pod is.
Just do it all at once.
Rip come on, Steve. Just eat the fucking sweet. It's fine.
And you go straight, pop it in the bin as well.
Just listen to the last pod. Just to, I mean, for the movie knowledge, obviously, but also to hear Steve just wrestle with a bin for about 5 minutes straight.
He showed that bin he was boss.
So what I did to that bin? He punched it out of angle about 2 weeks ago.
My favourite thing was, like, we're going off on a tangent, this all's fucking staying in. You, like, tried putting it in the top, and then that didn't work. So you lifted it up with the other hand, just... the whole thing, and then made a ton of noise from it.
I tried to be as quiet as possible, but
I was putting a can into a bin full of other cans.
Yeah, you're not as stealthy as Terry, who's opening it under the table. Fucking no. Haribo as well, Terry. Anyway,
get your hands off me, eggs.
We did 10 to 6 in the last podcast, all our movies of the year. It's the same people again. We have Dan. Dan, how's you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Excellent. Steve, how's it going?
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Barbie. And Terry, how's it going?
Yeah, my bladder's empty now, so we're all good to go.
We're good. Everyone has, at some point,
gone for a week.
They are wrestling over sweets. This is all devolved. I don't know. Tell the class what's happened.
He's just nicked me eggs.
There's two grown-ups. Who are of a reasonable size.
Fat.
But no, in general.
Well, basically, I tried to...
Fighting over a small bag of Haribo.
When there's other bags available.
I tried to stealthily take one of his eggs. And one of them stopped.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. It's not. We're going to carry on then. 5-1. That's what we're doing now. 5-1 of our films of the year, each individual film of the year. Then at the end, we're going to go through the top 10 films combined, and also go to our honorable mentions and TV series as well. Right, who wants? Are we kicking off in the same direction, or should we go around the opposite way this time?
Well, whatever.
Number 5 is Talk to Me. We talked about it in the last pod. I fucking love this film. It's so one way to talk about with Talk to Me is that A, the scary bits are genuinely scary because they are few and far between. B, the funny bits are genuinely funny. C, it's a Gen Z film that doesn't feel like it's been written by a 40-year-old. It actually feels of its time. Like the use of mobile phones in the film doesn't feel forced, doesn't feel like a gimmick. It feels like just very, very natural. And lastly, it sticks the ending. The ending.
That's the biggest thing with this. The ending doesn't drop off.
This is the best ending to a horror film I've seen in a very long time. So I love this film. Yeah.
And it was made by a couple of YouTubers who do silly videos.
One of the best parts was the intro.
Yeah.
When they're just farting around, just talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they made a thing. They did a video where I think they ended up getting arrested because they drove a car that was full of water. Like, they filled a car of water and, like, sealed it in.
Yes.
And drove it down the street.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Definitely.
I'll talk about it later.
Yeah. That's number 5. Terry, number 5.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, wow, that low.
Ooh. Yeah. That's probably more that I haven't been able to watch it again. I bought it the day it came out and I've just not got around to watching it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny, funnier than I was expecting. Had so much heart, but like real heart, not like forced heart, which I think comes from like, it came from like a genuine place with Margot Robbie, with Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Yeah. And America Ferrera.
Yeah.
I just thought all the characters were great. Obviously, Gosling is great as Ken. And Judy Garner is good as Ken.
Yeah.
All the other Kens are great as Ken. And Chris Evans' brother.
Yeah.
What's Michael Cera's character
called? Michael Cera's good as Alan who's great.
And Alan.
Fun story, the person who plays Mitch is the director of Saltburn.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah. Emerald Fennell.
Yeah.
She played Camilla Parker Bowles in The Crown as well.
Did she?
Yeah.
I've never watched The Crown.
And she was in Call the Midwife.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, she's the pregnant one.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of pregnant people in a programme called
Call the Midwife. Oh, no, I meant Barbie. But yes, you would be correct in your summation of Call the Midwife.
Steve, that was gay.
But no, I thought, again, they did quite a good job of hiding what the film was actually going to be about in the trailers. Obviously, you knew it was going to be about Barbie, but there's... The trailers almost made it seem like she joined the real world and then that was it. But there's obviously much more that goes on. I won't get into spoilers or anything, but I just thought there was just the right amount of slapstick. I know a lot of people... I know women that thought it was too feminist, but I thought it was just the right amount. I really got the message and thought it was... Right on, man. Mm. Hashtag me too.
For fuck's sake. Just
say
you liked the film.
Yeah, no, I just really liked it. I thought it was hilarious. And yeah, enjoyed it.
Nice.
Number five.
Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, yes. Now we're getting
into it. Do you know why it's called Minus One? So apparently the idea was that the losing the war made them zero.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla made them minus one as a country when he came and took them down.
Yeah. The title of the film makes me want to like... Love this film even more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so fucking good. Yeah. Carry on,
Terry. Yeah, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I think when we booked it, I was like, I don't know.
You weren't going to book it because we went super screen.
Yeah, and I'm too tight to pay the £2.50, which I'm paying anyway. I'm kind of glad I did, actually, because even up until the day, I wasn't too sure. But
you did say to me you would have dropped out had it not been a pet.
Yeah, if I hadn't paid for it, I would have gone to see it, because I'd paid hard enough cash of my money to pay. But yeah, I thought it was... Probably the best Godzilla film we've had for a while. And I think, Dan, you said it after we came out, it was a massive kick in the teeth putting the other Godzilla trailer before like this one. Because the new Godzilla trailer for...
The other one, the American ones, are just action films that happened to Godzilla. He's not Godzilla in those films.
This one felt kind of so... Like, there was a really good story behind it. Yeah. It wasn't just like, it was just like, oh, there's a monster. Why? There was so much stuff going on behind the scenes of why this happened. Like, you know, it kind of led you to believe that... His fate was sealed, but it wasn't. Mm. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. I don't want to give too much away.
Well, compared to the American ones, you actually cared about the humans in this.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it was just... I think the reason why it made so high on my list, other than the fact it was a great film, was the fact that I was surprised how much I was going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not really one for subtitled films. But I'm not... Yeah. I'm not stupid, I can read them and watch at the same time. But you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm very, like... Yeah, there, mate.
Yeah, I'm not stupid. I can't read them.
And I told people about this.
Makes me think of the IT crowd. I can't read while I'm also trying to see things.
Don't you tell people you're going to go watch a subtitled film? They're like, oh, I can't be arsed with. That's what Jess said.
Well, we accidentally saw the Marvels with subtitles, didn't we? Because we broke the It was a quiet screening, though, to be fair.
Yeah. But it was a really good film, really good story. They're obviously going to make some more by how this one ended, you think.
It's being re-released as a black and white version, I'll go watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch that, And I think, it was just actually a Godzilla film that I actually genuinely care about.
Yeah.
I would cap it, I can't wait to see it again.
It is on everyone else's list a bit higher.
Yeah. I thought it might be,
It's fucking great.
Yeah, really good, enjoyed it.
Number five then?
Barbie as well.
Yeah!
Loved it.
Fucking love this film.
I would expected it to be like just a very shallow cash grab kind of movie, but like Terry said, they actually got someone who had wanted to tell a story that was actually full of heart and actually had a message, and just had some really great performances, great like kind of musical set pieces, just great humour all the way through it, just some fantastic lines.
Sublime.
Yeah, like apparently he that was ad libbed.
Yeah, and he did it like outtakes. he did it about 4 or 5 times with different scenes.
They're all gold. They're all so funny.
Yeah,
but Sublime is the clear way.
Sublime.
Yeah, it was just.
I don't even like when I realised that the patriarchy wasn't about horses. I lost interest.
That's why it tells like such a great story as well. It kind of becomes topical for like nowadays. But Ken embracing the patriarchy, but it all just turned out he just had a really sincere reason why he wanted to do it. It was like he just thought it was about horses and he wanted Barbie to notice him.
I'd like to be a doctor now.
I don't want to be just beach Ken. I can't even like save people at the beach. I'm not lifeguard Ken.
I'm just beach.
I'm beach.
Oh god, it's so fucking good. It is, yeah, I loved it. Number four for me is The Creator, the film that Dan shat on in the last.
No, I know, tell me about it.
I fucking loved it. Yeah. So I agree. The only thing I would say is I think that he isn't a very likable character at the start of the film. And the film is basically a redemption story of him working his way to becoming a more likable character and in the end finding some peace, knowing, dealing with the guilt throughout the whole film. And admittedly, it's been done a million times, but I really like this one. Really loved how it looked as well. Slightly, I might be slightly biased because Rogue One's like one of my all-time favourite films and this is the same director. But in general, I thought it was really, really good. It had a real feel of like the Neil Blomkamp ones.
Yes.
Like, yeah, like had that kind of gritty feel.
And District 9 and stuff like that. Really, really, really liked it. It was considerably higher and then it kind of just gradually started moving down the more I thought about it. But yeah. Yeah, Creator number four.
My number four is John Wick 4.
Yeah.
So the highest placing of that. We've spoken about it. I absolutely love the John Wick films. I absolutely love Keanu Reeves. They turned it up. I mean, John Wick 1 turned it up to 11, so fuck knows what number this got turned up to. But it is just relentless. Went much more international. That guy in Germany, my name is Klaus. My name is Klaus. Apparently he's a really famous photographer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah, I just love like the universe of John Wick and I love how every film was built on it and made it bigger. And yeah, the Marquis with Skarsgård I thought was a great character.
Yeah.
And the way they deconsecrated the Continentals, which was obviously the addition really in this film. I just, yeah, not really much more to say, just fucking brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah. Number four?
Bobby.
Yeah.
There's a film, we mentioned one who mentions it, it's a similar effect. When I saw that make it, I was kind of like, this just isn't my film.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to want to see a film about Barbie. And then I think the last four went, didn't we?
Yep.
And then Ron came as well. And I came out of that film myself, like, that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Like, like I said, the story was good, the message behind it was great. Yep. All the characters, every character was perfectly cast, in my opinion.
100%.
Like, Ryan Gosling, he's one of those sort of people, I like him, I've got nothing against him, but I thought he was absolutely fucking hilarious in this film. There's like that scene where she goes to his door and he kind of walks away and you can hear him in the background and he comes back.
Yeah,
like that, it's just like, I know it's been mentioned, but it's just absolutely incredible. Like, it's just, everything just kind of fit, and like I said, the casting was great. And like I said, yeah, I think for me it was one of those sort of films where, when I first, even I told people that I was going to see it, like, we're going to see the Barbie film, I was like, you know, let's check it out. Like, I had no real expectations. I came out for myself. That was actually really, really good. Yeah. And then you can kind of then tell people, actually, do you know what? Don't just assume it's a film made for girls, because it's not actually. Essentially, it's a film
made for... Warner Brothers' highest grossing film ever, which when you consider they've made all the Batman films.
Yeah.
I just remember coming out... Like, I went to see it three times in the end. And I remember every single time the cinema was fucking rammed.
Yeah.
It's like the busiest I've ever seen.
But like, not just in the cinema, but you saw like in the car park as well. That like we had to park in.
It was taking like 10 minutes to park.
Yeah,
it's outrageous.
Yeah. Love to see it. It's the closest I think came to it was Top Gun Maverick when that came out as well. That's similar kind of.
You had to wedge that in as well.
I did. Yeah, I fucking love that film so much.
He hasn't mentioned Lucas Black yet.
No,
he looks old.
Yeah. I thought you were going to mention. I mentioned Fast and Furious 10, although he's not in it.
No, he's not. No, he's too old for it now.
The only thing he's doing driving is a scooter.
I fucking love Barbie. Number four.
It's already been mentioned, but Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Great, right?
Yeah, I just love this. I love that particular series.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great send-off for the characters. It's just, it just felt cool seeing that evolution of this dysfunctional group of people who have become like a family to each other, and it just has a ton of heart. And you knew when you saw like Rocket Raccoon and his origin story that it was going to be traumatic and painful, but it was still just beautiful.
Yeah, because like, it's been hinted to us before.
And it really became Rocket's story more than any of them. But yeah, it was just great seeing where these characters end up.
Do you think it must piss Vin Diesel off that this is a film about family more?
Yeah,
all he gets to say is "I am Groot," rather than the film that he thinks.
But even that bit at the end, where Groot comes and speaks to her, and you actually hear like Groot speak properly for the first time, and you kind of get the impression that it's not just because she's been around him for so long that you understand him. It's like us, the audience, have been around
him.
We know Groot now, and so we understand him as well. And it's just a beautiful little moment.
Yeah.
This film just full of great little moments like that.
I'm going to start rattling through some of these now. Number three for me is Godzilla Minus One.
And me.
Yeah. Mm. It's so fucking good. It is.
Yeah, it was my number three as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just rattle through and then just go straight to Steven, number three. So, like, for me, one of the things I absolutely loved about it was the design of Godzilla as well, who they did, which they did on a shoestring budget, but looked way better than I've seen Godzilla look in 20, 30 years.
I love the way his spine's, like, locked into place when he was doing his, like,
but the look
nuclear...
on his fucking face as well when he's doing it as well. It's terrifying. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it just really builds up the menace of Godzilla. Because rather than like the Hollywood ones you've seen, like with that Godzilla Kong trailer, where he's like running around and he's all like jumping about.
He's the hero in the American ones.
Yeah. And he's all like, they're all like kind of fast and moving and acrobatic. But this is just this kind of
lumbering,
but like inevitable monster that's just coming towards you. And it really does a good job of making him terrifying and menacing.
Yeah.
And I think
that heat ray is just.
That's
proper
what I think.
Nuclear.
Yeah, I think like what's kind of the one, like we had another film like this year, Oppenheimer, which is about the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
But it, like, Godzilla does so much more in terms of like showing you the horrors of the nuclear weapon than that film ever had any like was ever able to, because it actually centers like the people who were the victims of it. You know, where you see Japan that goes through. Another nuclear attack through Godzilla and it's just horrifying.
It goes into the detail of like Japan during World War II, but which the original one does as well. Like the original one's heavily based around like the effects of atomic warfare on Japan.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the Godzilla. Yeah. He's like a metaphor of the atomic bomb.
Because he's meant the original look was like he's burned like a Hiroshima victim.
It does such a good job. It's funny in places as well. Like the funny bits are genuinely really funny. I love that it's not centered around Godzilla. Godzilla just happens to be
the
problem.
That's what we've lost in all the American ones. It's just about here's a monster that destroys things and saves us from Mothra. Whereas it was like Jaws.
Yeah.
He comes in, he fucks shit up and he goes away, and then we spend a good amount of time with the human characters.
Especially the human character that feels like he's irredeemable as well.
Like a guy dealing with like survivor's guilt over what he's, over kind of running away.
Even in the face of like everyone saying, look, this is like, we don't want you to go to war. It's more honourable to not go to war. Now.
Yeah.
We want you to survive.
You're not necessarily a hero because you're sacrificing yourself. You don't need to.
Yeah, we've been through this. We'd rather that the people of a certain age don't go through this. Yeah. Oh God, it's so good.
Love the relationship of the all the crewmates.
Yes.
And how they develop throughout the film, and
the clever one with the glasses.
Yes, it is like Jaws. Yeah. You're absolutely right, though. Like there is like a real feeling of like
And the whole kind of pace and setup of the film is very deliberate and very like everything's kind of thought through.
Yeah.
Like that whole plan they have of how to deal with Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, you can't defeat him with conventional weapons because like he can just throw ships and stuff
and how America aren't willing to do something about something they created as well.
They create the problem, but
I like how he kind of was just there from the start. Like normally in these sort of films they build up to the reveal of the monster, but like the moment he lands on the island, it gets like boom, Godzilla's there.
He's considerably smaller.
the pre-atomic wastage version.
He's kind of known to the locals of that area. It's just Godzilla. He just comes up every now and then for like
not again
another Godzilla. Yeah.
I just finished rebuilding this hut.
So that was number three for three of us then. Your number three, Steve?
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Nice.
We've kind of discussed it a lot. Because, like I said, solid film, emotional film, really sort of kind of delved into more people's backstory, really, with obviously Rocket and obviously with Star-Lord going to live on Earth and stuff like that. And obviously, there's the team of the Guardians of the Galaxy looking different from previous films at the end. So it's really interesting to sort of see what direction they're going to go in now with them, actually. Because you don't know if they're going to. Obviously, the characters are going to appear in future films.
Well, the
films.
Ending said Peter Quill will return.
Yeah, he did. But you can't imagine they're not going to bring Rocket back, and they're not going to bring like they're going to have some sort of.
I guess we'll see.
I always feel like these films are like James Gunn films, the Guardians themselves. Like, I can see them appearing in other Marvel movies, but in terms of
Yeah, the
I don't know if I'd want to see another Guardians movie if it's made by someone else than James Gunn.
Because one thing Avengers Infinity War and Endgame done well is they still sort of, the director didn't change the way they have been in the previous film. They still, it's like, Peter Quill was still Peter Quill, do you know what I mean? Rocket was still Rocket, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, although there's a lot of argument that Peter Quill in the James Gunn films wouldn't have done what he did in Endgame. Mm. But, you know.
But then that was, I suppose, it's up for debate, I suppose, isn't it?
Doesn't matter. Infinity War is still like fucking one of my favourite films. This is great. It's a great film. It's a testament that a Marvel film actually made it into this list.
And like I said to you before, the first time I watched it, I wasn't fully convinced. It took me another screen to be like, this film is actually really, really good.
Round to number two then, because we've gone through number three. We're rattling through these ones now. Barbie's my number two.
Highest placing for Barbie.
Interesting. Have you guys all had it already? It's just fucking great. Like, I went to see it three times. It didn't lose any of its joy. One of the things I enjoyed was watching people in the cinema enjoy being in a cinema, enjoying the experience as well. And there was definitely...
Herbert.
Yeah. With my trousers around my ankles.
You were just sat at the front with your back to the screen, just looking at
I love the music as well. The music just works really well. Obviously, I'm Just Ken will probably win an Oscar.
You'd imagine so, wouldn't you? I think there's like three songs they've got, haven't they?
Yeah, there's the Dua Lipa ones.
The Dua Lipa one and the Billie Eilish one.
Yeah. Which are all worthy as well. The bit with Rhea Perlman as well. It really, really nice. Really genuinely touching in places. Didn't just deal with... I mean, anyone complained that it's too feminist. Okay, it doesn't just deal with that. It also deals with male depression, like quite heavily throughout the film as well. And not feeling worthy enough because you're...
Just
told
Ken.
And because you're told you should be this big butch person that drives a truck and rides horses
and your worth is somehow dictated by if a woman loves you or not,
and the job that you've got as well. Like, it's not just, it deals with just a ton of issues as well, and it's just fucking great. The cast, as you say, the cast is incredible. The fight / dance scene is one of the best I've seen in a long time, when they're just launching like rubber balls at each other like on the beach. It's just incredible. And then when they the sparkles, is that them just beaching? I'm gonna beat you off now.
I'll beat you off. I'll beat you all off.
You couldn't even beat yourself off.
I think what's his face from Shang-Chi as well. He's fucking great in this as well. As the other Ken, the rival Ken.
I love the big dance off at the beginning as well, where like Ryan Gosling just sort of stood there and like it's almost like the music just takes him. And then it's just like the thing where Barbara just goes, has anyone else thought about dying? Like, that's the start of it all.
And then the narration as well, which is like all perfect at the start. And then it's like...
Where Barbie's going like, oh my God, I'm so ugly. Freeze frame. Yeah. Note to the producers, Margot Robbie is not the best actress to deliver this line. great film.
She falls out of the house as well.
And even like the songs like connecting with it and stuff, and her flat feet.
This thing that when the woman says, like, it's the trans actor, in fact, which is incredibly forward of Barbie, so well done, says delivers the line, the flat feet just sticks in my head. Flat feet! It's incredible. I couldn't do it justice. Weird Barbie as well. Fucking great. And America Ferrera. With her actual husband in it, by the way, as well. The guy who's trying to learn Spanish.
Is that her actual husband in it?
Interesting. The kid as well, tearing Barbie a new one in school. Just.
And even like Will Ferrell in his like small part, and like the whole fucking like board of Mattel was just so clever the way they did that. Because they're just like, oh God, another one's got out. We need to get her back in the box. There's not like, oh my God, Barbie's come to life. It's just like, here we go again.
Get back in the box. He's just sitting there with the drumsticks for no reason at all. Just
great film. Yeah, very. You need to rewatch it.
Yep, and all the scenes in between, which I thought was just all CGI, they actually shot. You know, the bit of going between worlds,
the traveling.
Yeah.
They actually shot those scenes. It's not CGI. Yeah, so excellent. Terry, number two.
So this is a massive deviation compared to the rest of you. My number two is Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
Mm. I won't say too much because you guys might talk about it in a minute.
Maybe.
But obviously an amazing film. It looks beautiful. I think the battle between Gwen and the Vulture from like the alternate dimension is just fucking stunningly beautiful. I could watch that over and over again.
It's number one Joyride.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
the main reason this is number two and not number one is I was expecting it to be good and it was good. Mm. And the one that's number one blew me away in a different way. But no, I just thought Into the Spider-Verse was... yeah, it was the re-release of Debbie Does Dallas. But I... Yeah, Spider-Verse was fucking great.
Mm. Yeah. We might mention it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Might come up.
You're number two, Steve?
The Creator.
Nice.
So, again, everything's been said about it. But I think for me, my 2 to 5 could have been in any kind of order, really.
There's so many films that on a different day I'd
be
in a different
order. Sorry, it's quite high up, Dan. I know that you...
oh, yeah, shit. I'm
not upset at all.
But what I like...
Disappointed, maybe.
I hear that quite a lot, to be fair. But the reason why I liked it a lot is it's sci-fi anyway, which is great. But we've obviously mentioned about the drama side of it. It didn't feel like an out-and-out sci-fi film. Mm. There was that drama element to it. There was that emotion in there as well, which kind of sort of really resonated there. And I think, yeah, like I said, visually, it was just a really, really good film. I think there was a good, solid story there as well. You're right, you know, the character development in the film is really important. Mm. But like I said, yeah, for me, it was just an all-round good film. And I'm looking forward to watching it again when it comes out in the new year. So
yeah, fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two?
My number two is Dream Scenario.
The highest placed individual film.
Yeah, it's in my honourable mentions, yeah. But I did remember it, yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Did not get to see it.
It was... I intentionally did not watch... I was going to intentionally not watch a trailer before I went to see it because it is just like a really bizarre but great concept of just the most boring, normal guy... he's not being noticed by anyone, is suddenly just in everyone's dreams and everyone finds out about it, that he's just there. He doesn't do anything. He just appears in their dream just randomly and ends up becoming like a celebrity and no one knows why it's happening.
And I'm not doing anything?
Yeah.
It's like a plane crash.
It's like a plane crash or someone's getting hurt. Like his daughter's like, you know, floating up into the sky. It's like, I'm not trying to help you. Why am I not trying to help you? He's getting upset about it. But it's just then the way it escalates from there and the different things that happen. I don't want to say too much to giving it away because it's. I think it has to be watched and experienced. But yeah, it just does a kind of a running commentary on like modern day kind of like fame and like, you know, the kind of the brevity of like fame in the internet culture and how quickly people can turn against you or things can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's kind of always had that in him a little bit.
Yeah, like he doesn't want to be famous, but at the same time, he kind of enjoys it. They enjoy that bit of celebrity, but then you kind of see the negative side of celebrity where, you know, you've got people potentially coming after you or hassling you.
Ant book he wants to release. I can't remember it's got a pun name, hasn't it?
I can't, because someone plagiarises his work and that's where it all kind of starts. And yeah, it's... And everything he does, whenever things start going wrong, he just makes it worse for himself all the time.
One of the funniest sex scenes you'll ever see as well.
Oh, yeah.
Better than Team America?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a funny sex scene.
Quite a bold claim.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think
it's basically he gets a groupie, essentially. but he just doesn't know what to do with it.
Any other year, that would have made my top five. That film
was
fucking great.
It was amazing. It was
didn't even make your top 10.
I know.
It was a lovely little gem.
Yeah,
like it just came out.
I did really want to see it. I can't remember why I couldn't go in the end. But...
Some of the best scenes are the scenes when they're describing their dreams, and he's just kind of like sitting in the background.
Like anything could be happening, and he's just there in the background.
Yeah, or not. But I'm not gonna. Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to say what happens towards the end because it's just a brilliant movie.
Number one.
Well, I should probably go first.
Yeah, do your number one.
I'm the Lone Ranger with my number one. So it is in most other people's lists, I think. I went for Talk To Me.
Yeah, yeah.
It absolutely blew me away. I went into it thinking it was going to be all right. It looked quite decent. The premise looked good. And as we've mentioned before, it's very Generation Z.
Yeah.
The opening is great, where it's just like you think you're meeting the characters that are going to be in it for a long time, and they very much aren't.
Yes.
And then you meet the characters that are, and they're just... They are act- actually everyday teenagers. Yeah. Like you said before, it doesn't feel like it's been written by a 70-year-old who's going, and it's like, hey, kids, how are we doing today? Like, they all integrate with each other, and the storyline of what, like, the actual talk to me element, I think, is really well done. And it's just, like I say, there isn't a lot of jump scares, but when they go, like that initial bit, like I rewatched it today and I'd forgotten how fucking in your face that first.
Yeah. Like, it's not like explicit in its gore, no. But it's the way they do it really
there,
does.
There's that, blood, but it's like an, in it another filmmaker's hands, there would be blood gushing here or there. There'd be organs popping.
You know what he's doing is irreparable damage.
Yes, and it's horrible to watch.
Feel it. You feel those blows hitting. Yeah. And then obviously it then pales off, but what's going on? And then it goes mental again in the hospital.
Yeah.
And again, you really feel it. And it's sort of possession, it's sort of not. And then you've got this storyline with the young girl and her recently deceased mother, where it's sort of, that's the main route that it takes of her trying to use this thing to find her mother. And it not going particularly well.
Yeah.
And then, so the main thing for me was just the ending was fucking great. Yeah. So many films, like last year there was Smile, which was brilliant until the last 10 minutes. And then it was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Barbarian, brilliant. And then the last 10 minutes, not quite as bad, Smile, but still a little bit like, oh, it's just gone generic crap film now.
Yeah.
Whereas this just, they had an idea.
Fucking smooth. Like, it just flows so nicely into that.
And it's one of those endings where the thing happens and it takes you a while to realise what's happened because, like I said, it's so seamless, worked in so well. And then there's obviously, we're in the 2020s, there is a tease for a sequel. There will be a sequel called Talk to Me. But I'm quite excited about that because you can have a sequel without pissing on this one. You don't have to have any of the same characters.
And
you
can tell a completely different story. Yeah, so
you can have a completely different thing happen. You can have it as a sort of, maybe even like a Flatliners type thing where they are actually delving into the spiritual world to find something. But I just thought it was so different. Nice to see like new filmmakers come out because they are the Philippoussis brothers or something like that. Like I said, clearly mental. Fucking hell, Dan. You're meant to be the professional in the room. But yeah, I just fucking loved it. So I bought it when it came out and then I watched it on Netflix today.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know it was coming on Netflix.
I'll have to watch it.
Oh, honestly, it's only like an hour and a half as well, which
it's really
tight.
We
often talk about so many films now are elongated and scenes stretched out.
Not necessarily needed.
This is short, sharp. Everything that needs to happen happens. Everyone in it is great. I think Miranda Otto is the only sort of known cast member as the parent of the boy. But it's just, it's just so good.
It's got like effective twists as well.
Yeah.
And like, but everything's like laid out within the story. Like everything's kind of set up in terms of like the rules of the story. So exactly. You could potentially work out what's happening, you know, but it can still also surprise you. And it has consistent rules within its own world. And it tells a really great story with them.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those ones that I watched the trailer and thought, that looks really good. And then usually...
Yeah, I was excited about it. And then
it's fucking great,
Just brilliant. All right, you three might want to talk about another film now.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Right, guys? So the reason we ended up leaving Joyride, which you'll have heard in the first pod, is because we knew there was a screening of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And at the time, I was like, I don't know.
You hadn't seen Spider-Verse at that point.
I would, if I'd have managed to convince you to stay to watch Joyride, future Dan would have come back in time to tell me, go see Spider-Man into the Spider or across the Spider-Verse.
Would it have been a canon event, coming back to change
it? Yeah,
it
would have been like, another version of you would have come from another dimension, like through the cinema screen.
Yes. It's so fucking good. This was the film where Miles Morales became my favourite Spider-Man. Like, the bit where he's got... what's his fucking name? The Miguel O'Hara.
Yeah, Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099.
And it's the bit where he's got to, you've got to do this. You understand that you have to do this. I've been through so much, you've got to do this. And Miles Morales is there just going, no, I'm going to do my own thing.
Mm.
And it's like, that's when I was like, that's fucking Spider-Man. Like, this is Spider-Man, like... Nerdy Spider-Man stands up to people and eventually says, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, it's like, but this is the power of responsibility thing. Yeah. You know, it's he's taking it in the right direction.
Like, it is, but it doesn't go right for him either, which is heartbreaking as well. I won't give too much away because I think everyone should watch this film. Yeah. If you like superhero films, this
and
is
the
best.
And the Spot's a great villain as well.
He's
a great shit villain at the start.
Yeah, like it's a... I mean, I hope they can stick the landing with like the next movie.
Yeah.
Because it ends on a cliffhanger, this one. Mm. But, you know, it's just a really well-made, you know, out of this world, like animation. It put so many different styles of animation in there. And there's such great humour, and there's just so much going on in each like shot.
Looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh, Spider-Punk's got to be my favourite Spider-Man character, I think, of all of them. Where like, he's
I love it.
On the surface, he seems like this kind of like contrarian for like no reason. I'm like, you know, a poser punk, but he actually really is like subversive.
And it all unfolds so well.
Yeah, but it's like
stealing all the bits.
Yeah, because I didn't notice that the first time I watched it. When he was like saying, "Oh, you know, make your own." Watch, he says to Miles, and then actually that's what he's doing. He's stealing all the stuff there so he can make his own watch, and some really great characters.
He's fucking perfect in that film. I completely agree. The Gwen Stacy storyline's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking, with the dad that comes back and finds her there, and he's just absolutely all over the place. Like, I'm pretty certain I cried at that point.
It starts off with pretty much, you think it would be her film, doesn't it? Yeah. It starts off with her story.
That's why you had to stop watching it, wasn't it? Because Oscar wasn't happy.
Oscar wasn't happy. As I've mentioned in loads of pods, Oscar loves Miles Morales. So when we started watching it, it was kind of like, well, it's not really about Miles Morales. Well, actually, it is about Miles Morales. But you have to understand it in films. They have to also put a lot of focus on other characters and their development. He's only 10, so he's not really going to understand it yet, but he hasn't watched it all the way through. But I then meant to watch it all the way through. Don't tell him, because I'm told him I'll wait for him, but I've watched it like 4 times. But yeah, it's just brilliant. The ending, it had the same effect on me as like Infinity War. I remember when the Infinity War ended, I was kind of like, oh, it came around really quickly. Same with this one, it ended, I was like, no, like this one was a bit different, because they were both massive cliffhangers, but I was like, oh, fuck, I've now got to wait for the next one, because obviously how it ended and stuff. But yeah, it was just all around brilliant film. I feel like the first one was great.
Yeah.
Like, incredible. This one, just as incredible.
I think it's better. I think it's better personally,
but yeah.
I don't think there's a moment as good as the What's Up Danger part. Yeah. It's like when he's jumping off the roof in the first one. But like...
When he falls down, when he jumps... Like falls downwards but goes up.
Yeah,
it's a great scene.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do, however, think just in general this film might be better. Like that, you feel the betrayal when you find out that Gwen and Peter B. Parker have been working with Miguel as well.
Yeah.
And it's all been planned that he's got to do this, and it's like you feel heartbroken for him because these are the people that he trusts. Mm. Like, he's been waiting to like reunite with these guys for forever. There's no one that understands him. And it just goes so wrong, and yet he deals with it in the way that you assume Miles Morales would deal with it. He's got so much responsibility for a teenager for what he's dealing with,
and he's under a lot of pressure as well from family, like his mate, his mum and dad.
Genuinely heartfelt as well, those bits, like the bits like when with the party for his dad who's got promotion and stuff, and like they're so proud of the dad, and because he's got this promotion, and obviously no one in that family's kind of like risen to that height, and he's got all of this going on at the same time, and yet he can't really say anything about it, but also he can't get a cake back to them at the same time.
So. One of the great comedy moments where Miguel shouts, "Get Spider-Man! You!
All of the
Miles!"
All of those bits are great as well. Like, everything.
I just
in
love like the Calcutta Manhattan.
Oh my god,
sequence is so cool.
Yeah, beautiful as well.
Yeah,
like, really, really stunningly put together. The whole film just works, just flows.
Is there a new one out next year?
They haven't even started making it yet.
The writer's strike.
I want them to take time with it to make sure they get it right.
Well, I was on the assumption they'd done it back to back.
No, that's what I thought, but no, they haven't even.
It's just a two-part story, unfortunately.
I think the very earliest you'll be looking at late next year.
Because
apparently Spider-Punk was about 8 animators.
He had one animator just doing his guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, being 16 animators.
Yeah.
If I can get out next
minimum time. Wage, 24 hours a day.
Spider-Punk really did steal the show in that, didn't he?
Yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah. So yeah, really, really good. Number one.
Yeah.
So let's do the top 10 combined then. If you've got
so it. Combined. Yeah. So our joint 10 yeah. was Strays and Saltburn.
Yeah.
Number 9 was Thanksgiving. 8, Dream Scenario. Even though I only got one vote, it got number 2.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
7, John Wick. 6, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. 5, The Creator. You tried, Dan, but you failed. 4, Talk to Me.
Yeah.
3, Barbie. Yep. 2, Godzilla Minus 1. And Into the Spider-Verse at number 1.
I'm fucking happy yeah. with that. That's a good list.
Fine list.
Yeah.
You're never happy with a list, are you? It's like a sweet little eye roll with Saltburn there, joint 10.
No, it's the way it is.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good list.
Yeah, it's a solid list, to be fair. Some good films.
Should we do honorable mentions and TV series?
Yeah. So,
do we want to go around or we just mention some honorable mentions?
Just to mention it, yeah. I suppose.
Mission yeah. Impossible was very close to my cut.
I
can't believe
I didn't make the top 10. That film was great.
I gave it 5 out of 5 when on Letterboxd when it came out. It's another relentless fucking action film. I think the only reason possibly it suffered for me was A, I haven't been able to rewatch it. And 2, I think because of the nature of the 2 films split into 1, one film split into 2, so it has a sort of ending, here we go, whereas all the other Mission Impossibles have had like the big, way.
This is the crescendo ending. That we've been building to,
so I feel like that was a little bit of a, I just fucking love the Mission Impossible films.
Me too. Probably the big one that didn't make it. Oppenheimer didn't make anyone's list.
I haven't seen it. I bought it on Blu-ray. I haven't got around to watch it.
I think I need. No. I was a little bit disappointed at the cinema.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's because I'd hyped it up too much, or I generally maybe our sound mix might have been out because other people have said how amazing the sound was, and I was disappointed by it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to see it again.
I'd actually would have put. Think about it, I would have put Oppenheimer one of my kind of like my bad movies this year.
I think that's the most.
I don't think it's bad, but it didn't. I was very excited about it, and I'd still say it didn't feel like a 3-hour film. And when you said it's a 3-hour film about a man building a bomb and feeling sad about it, it was still good. But I mean, again, that made over $1 billion.
it made pretty much every other list. But
For me, honourable mentions would be Renfield.
I was really
I'm in an iron whether to put it in my list, but because I've got Dream Scenario, I thought I've already got one Nicolas Cage film in there.
There you go.
But Renfield was actually a lot of fun.
It's way better than it had any right to be.
There's Nicolas Cage just being Nicolas Cage, ridiculousness with him being Dracula, and surprisingly more gory than I thought it was going to be, but like in a funny way.
Yeah,
some really great little action set pieces.
I love that he's going to AA as well too. That's really good. Indiana Jones, no one mentioned, don't
you? Yeah, I've got on my list. Yeah. No one mentioned.
I mean, I liked it more than people thought. I liked it more than people thought. The other people seemed
better than Crystal Skull.
Oh my god, yeah. And I liked the kind of theme of it, which is that he's obviously severely depressed, and he's found a reason to. I thought Phoebe Waller-Bridge, if they want to make another Indiana Jones with Phoebe Waller-Bridges as the lead, I'm actually fine with that. I thought she was
maybe have him as like the man in the chair.
Yeah, that kind of thing. That's like.
I had Super Mario Brothers on my list.
Yeah, that's the next one I was going to mention.
I really liked it. Had the same effect as Barbie. I remember seeing a World War Watch film about it. I went and saw it with Oscar, and he loved Super Mario. And I was like, that actually was actually quite a solid film. I think it was, definitely one.
My favourite bit was, I can't remember what it was, but the star or whatever in that the pit, where it's just like longing for the sweet release of death. It's like a fucking kids' film.
And obviously the post credit hinted at a sequel, so
almost certainly that'll happen. Yeah,
so that was
did a lot of money, didn't it?
And I'm adamant that the Peaches song's gonna be nominated for an Oscar.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No,
they've got the list out already.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
No, it didn't make the cut.
Oh, then my apologies. Then
DC put some decent films out this year. Mm-hmm. I thought I liked Blue Beetle. I thought Blue Beetle was
not seen it.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was quite good. Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. And I really liked The Flash.
Yeah, The Flash.
The Flash was decent.
Yeah. Like, I thought it gets... It's not going to make anyone's list because CGI was so fucking awful in it, but...
Dreadful.
It had some really funny moments, though, that I think sort of redeemed it for me. Like
when he turns his head in the Batman mask and the mask doesn't move, that's fucking brilliant.
Or the bit where he's rescuing the babies.
Yeah.
It's just such a ridiculous cartoony sequence where all these babies fall out of a window and then like there's that one baby heading towards some like scalpels in the sky. Yeah. There's another one like about to like hit a microwave. And
I thought they had genuine heart as well. Like I've been in a weird place this year because of things that have happened in my life. And the bits with his mum really affected me. Like, they were genuinely so well done. Of, like, imagining this last time you're going to see her. And, like, you've got to do something that you can't even fathom that you're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And I thought that really got me. It just didn't quite make the top 10 because I thought there were 10 films better.
Yeah, probably in my top 15 or 20, probably.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a film that...
It was fun. That was a thing that's lacked from so many DC films. Yeah.
Really, really.
It was like a definition of a guilty pleasure for me, I think, a lot of it. You know, like seeing Michael Keaton back being Batman again, and he seemed like he was actually enjoying it.
And the very ending of the film, I don't want to give it away because people should go see this film, or people watch it. But the end of this film, when Batman turns up, is brilliant.
Yeah. So when I first watched it, I was like, what's he doing here? Oh, yeah. Almost like the forgotten ones. Is that what I mean?
Have they put almost coffee adverts at the end of this film?
Spoilers. We'll just talk about it.
But Jenny, it took me 5 seconds to clock while he turned up. I was like, what? Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So well done. I loved it.
Yeah, but...
what else we've got here?
Crazy one that I liked in a sort of realm for Cocaine Bear.
I never watched it.
I haven't seen it.
Exactly.
I wanted to see that.
It's a bear hot off his fucking tits on coke, just going. I think it's one of Ray Liotta's last films.
Oh man,
he's like he's trying to get his coke back, and you've got these bungling like henchmen trying to get their coke back, and the bear, because it's based on a true story, but in the true story the bear found the coke. Took the coke, went, and then its heart exploded.
Yeah.
But in this, like, the bear gets a taste for it and the bear's chasing him around trying to get more coke. But it's just, like, people literally getting, like, ripped to shreds. It's just absolutely ridiculous, but enjoyably so.
A couple of decent animated ones. Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots was great.
Visually, that was stunning. And scared the shit out of Daisy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Also, the theme is really dark.
I mean, like, I went to see it twice. Like, the second time I went with my nieces, and like, one of them was, like, scared every time the death guy turned up.
Yeah, the Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah, Big Bad Wolf.
And TMNT, the Teen Ninja Turtles.
I wish I got to see that.
Fucking great. It was genuinely really good. It just didn't quite make the list for me. But yeah.
I've got Elemental on my list.
I haven't seen it.
Jem loves that.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I really think in the last few years, Pixar... I've really kind of outdone it. Like, they've released some really, like, last sort of 10, 15 years, they've really released some really, really good films. This one was one of those ones where I was like, I'm not too bothered. I actually watched it by myself. Actually, it's a really, really good film. Like, see, it wasn't going to make my top 10, but it was definitely going to make an honourable mentions list. Good, nice, cold-hearted sort of Disney Pixar film.
And if you're wondering, none of us saw Killers of Flower Moon. That's why we haven't mentioned it.
None of us have got a spare day.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Pearl was another one that I really enjoyed. The sequel to X with Mia Goth following. It's a prequel of the old lady from X.
I felt sure that was going to be on your list as well.
It was very close. It's in the honourable mentions bit, obviously. Bo is Afraid was also very good. That was 3 hours long. Yeah. That's part of the reason it got scored down, because it didn't need to be that long. What else have I got on there? And Tar, which I watched today.
It's good.
It's really good, because also another film that a lot of people go, Maestro, I've watched. I thought that was boring.
Oh, really?
Whereas, it's just been slated, isn't it? I've seen a few negative reviews about
it. The acting's pretty decent, but I don't get why they felt that there was nothing like Bohemian Rhapsody. I can understand why you make a biopic about Freddie Mercury. Yeah. Rocket Man, I can understand why you make a biopic about Elton John. Leonard Bernstein, obviously amazing person at what he does, but didn't seem to be a lot of conflict within his life to make it worthy. But Tar is obviously a fictionalised one of a, like, someone who, a fall from grace for her. But it actually felt like they explored composing and conducting a lot more, and I just felt it was a lot more interesting. And you supposedly it was written as a man, and then Cate Blanchett got hold of the script and was like, I want to play that role. And you can tell they literally just went, okay. And it's just Cate Blanchett playing the exact same role. Because there's lots of philandering and stuff. And she's gay in the film. But there's lots of stuff where you just be like, oh, no one would think twice about that. But had that been a male character, they would have put that associations in. But no, I thought that was really good. But it's another film where it builds up all these conflicts, but there's no resolution. Yeah. It just sort of, you know, these dramas where nothing happens. Lots of stuff happens, but it just doesn't seem to tie it up, which is why it didn't quite make it. But she's fucking amazing in it, as you would expect from Kate Blanchett.
Air was another one I really liked.
Yeah, that was enjoyable.
Yeah, like the more I think about it, the more I think I wish I'd seen a documentary on it though.
Was that the Matt Damon one?
Yeah,
the one with Michael Jordan. Jordan's,
yeah, George, yeah. Yeah. I kind of wish I'd seen the documentary on instead, rather than a film.
Did anyone catch Leave the World Behind?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
On Netflix.
Yeah, I quite like that.
That was, yeah, it wasn't bad.
A bit different.
Yeah, it's quite different. It's one. It's an odd film where a lot. There's a lot of tension built up in the film over events that like might aren't really like that scary, but the way they like the way the music builds up and the way the tension builds up in the scene, you just constantly feel on edge and just, you know, uncomfortable at certain moments.
Yeah, it's just very well put together, isn't it?
TV series? Should we round out with TV series? Anyone got anything to...
Was Andor this year? Was that last year?
Last year.
Ahsoka was this year.
Awesome. You don't love it?
Nah.
I haven't watched it, so
I
don't
mind.
I
haven't
watched it either. It was okay.
Mandalorian was this year as well.
I didn't finish season three. I've not watched much TV this year.
No.
I finished watching Invincible.
Yeah, I feel like I don't watch. I haven't even started Invincible yet.
So, I mean, me and Steve are wearing the shirts, but I actually watched The Bear, and obviously The Bear season 2 came out this year. That was fucking great.
The Bear was easily the best thing I watched this year.
Yeah, but, I think The Bear would probably go as far as that. It'd probably top 5 programs I've ever seen in my life.
This season 2 outdid season 1, which I didn't think was possible. Mm. And there's one episode in this that might be one of my favourite episodes of any TV series.
Is that Forks?
Yes.
Yeah, Forks was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and the episode before was really good as well.
The episode.
You think, yeah.
The Christmas episode is horrendous.
That gave me anxiety there.
It's so well made, but puts you on edge so much.
It has the most surprising ending ever.
Yes, you would never guess that.
And so you're like, you watch that, and you're like, that was incredible, but I need a breather. And it immediately starts with a character that doesn't give you a breather.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, God. And then it just...
So I've not watched The Bear. It's
so good.
You're missing
and
out.
And they're all like, it's like half-hour episodes, so you wrap. Okay. I did, like, I think series 1 in a day.
Mm.
And then series 3 is due next year, I want to say.
So, you guys seen Black Mirror, right?
Yeah. Black Mirror season 6 came out this year.
Well. I haven't seen the latest series, but I've seen everything up until that point.
So you know... when San Junipero comes in and everything has been so fucking depressing up until then.
That's a great episode, though.
And then you've got San Junipero, which is the one kind of almost happy episode. Yeah.
Mm.
That's what this episode is for The Bear. And it's like, it's so good. And you're watching this character growth throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
And you're falling in love with this character all over again because you love him, but he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And this episode, you're like, okay, no, I just love him now.
Yeah.
And like, throughout the whole series, it does a really good job of, it's not necessarily about Mikey in this one, it's about the other characters. And series 1's about Mikey.
Yeah.
And series 2 is about like all these other characters that are gradually growing and becoming better people. And because of Mikey and because of being around him. Including, what's her face, the chef that hates him at the start. And then like goes to like culinary school. Mm. You've got Marcus.
Tina.
Yes, Tina. Yeah, you've got Marcus who goes to
Copenhagen.
That's a great episode as well.
With Paul Polter.
That's a brilliant episode.
And everyone around him is getting growing and becoming better people. And you think he is as well, but I don't want to give too much away. But yeah.
I feel like the only problem I had with the second series is, and I know my friend Rich is the same, Sydney is one of the most unlikable characters.
I disagree. I really like Sydney.
I feel like she's the only one that didn't really develop in the second series.
Very entitled, considering she's been handed a restaurant.
Yeah, like Cousin, for example. Like the first series, you're led to be like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. But you still kind of like him because you kind of... But the Forks episode, yeah, you just... I don't think you could not love him after the episode.
That whole episode about, like, why do you want to do this then?
Because
I make people happy. Mm. Like, everyone, that's everyone's answer in that.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't stand Sydney.
I love Sydney. I think she's a great character. Yeah. But, you know, it's fine.
But it is, like I said, it's probably easily, like you said, I agree with you, best thing I've watched this year in terms of television.
Mm.
And probably one of the best TV programs I've probably ever seen.
Yeah.
So is it just about a chef?
Kind of.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that. It's about one of the greatest chefs in the world has to come back and look after his brother's business after his brother kills himself.
Which is a beef sandwich restaurant.
In Chicago, yeah.
Okay.
Hence the beef.
It's called The Bear. It's set in Chicago, and it's got nothing to do with the Chicago Bears.
I don't know why Dan watched it. Dan thought it was a documentary on the Chicago Bears.
I recommended it by a Green Bay Packers fan, weirdly enough, to watch it. So I went, oh, I'll give it a watch. And I just bust through the whole series in one night. It's some of the tensest TV you'll watch.
The anxiety in some of
the Christmas episode, the scene with the fork.
That and in series one, the one where they go online orders as well. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Which is the one that's just all in one shot.
Yeah, that's really cleverly done. But definitely, if you get a chance to watch it, you could easily could watch it on a weekend, like easily. Okay. Like.
I think there's only about 8 episodes a season. They're all there's a couple, like the Christmas episode is like an hour, but most of them are about 30 minutes.
Yeah, the fuckers making that one an hour. Because literally it was just so like. And like I said, the car, I've not said too much, but the cast, that episode must have blown their season budget. But
they probably all came in for fucking nothing because they wanted to be in it.
Well, Gillian Jacobs is married to the director.
Margo.
The showrunner. That spoiled someone that's in it, but yeah. It's just very, very good. Last of Us was this year as well.
Yeah, as I was going to say,
didn't watch that.
That was like what I've been missing from the last 4 series of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Proper tense, proper scary TV. Pedro in full saviour mode.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really good. I'm going to get something off my chest, though. There is no way Joel is a hero. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Joel's a piece of shit. Yeah. Okay, that's all right.
He does it for his own reasons.
Yes. He's a horrible person. Yes, okay, good. People hero worship Joel, and it's like, he's not a good person. But yeah.
Yeah, he could be interpreted as heroic, but he's not doing it for heroic reasons.
He's not doing it at all for... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Good.
And then obviously the one that we all waited a long time for, Ted Lasso season 3, the finale. I haven't cried that much.
You know, I cried quite a lot of episodes. I personally thought
In a way, I don't think it was as good as the other series, but I think it did what it needed to do.
It was cheesier, and I'm fine with that. Like, the episode in Amsterdam, I know a lot of people didn't like, I fucking love.
That was a great episode, yeah.
Jamie teaching...
She's always had to ride a bike. Yeah, that last.
My granddad was going to teach me, and then he died. Actually, that's a really that was really bad in memory of his honour. I should have done it. It's just and like the way they tied up the end.
Yeah, I found the ending so emotional. I think I cried like.
Well, the fact they put fucking father and son by Cat Stevens over it, I was like, oh, here we go.
I'm fairly sure I was still crying 10 minutes after I finished watching it.
Because I watched it again the final episode. Quite quickly afterwards, and I cried again. It was just so well done. All of the callbacks to the earlier series, just the every character developed in that, like Trent Crim becoming like a major character in this one.
Yeah, I really liked him in this
and
series.
Also being a guiding force for another character as
well.
Really, really
Nate's
good.
Redemption was just brilliant and beautiful, the way that, because that looked like it was going one way and then he just went completely back the other way.
They made it. I like the fact that by the 3 episodes in season 3 they made him likable again.
Yeah,
like he was just a likable guy.
You never thought that was a way of coming back after what he did when he left.
No,
but it was just this it's a brilliant series, absolutely fantastic, really. You know, and Ted Lasso is just such a lovable he's the best in everything, doesn't he?
As soon as I saw the start of the series 1, the bit where they're watching the video, I don't want to give too much away again, but like I knew that's how it was going to end as well. I'm going to fucking give away the bit where they see the video of him, everyone dancing with him. I knew that I was going to. I even said the whole series is going to end with that. It's going to end with them all dancing like that.
Yeah. There are so many callbacks.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Go on. Well, I was going to say that like, all of those things are great, but for me, the best thing on TV this year was getting Doctor Who back.
And being genuinely excited about it.
Being genuinely excited. Like, I really like Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor. I thought she was a great Doctor. I thought she was hamstrung by shit writing and shit stories. Chris Chibnall made a deliberate step with his Doctor Who to be like... Oh, like... It was good work, but like he wanted to tell real stories. So like they went into the past a lot. They went to real places a lot. There was a really shit episode where they went to the future. They were on this planet and it was a derelict wasteland and there was these mutants. And the big twist was, oh my God, this is Earth in 1,000 years. It's just like, it just beat you over the head with all these messages. And it's like, okay, I get it. It's like a good way to tell kids, but it wasn't fun anymore. The second I found out Russell T Davies was coming back and then found out they were doing specials with David Tennant, it was just like... And within 10 minutes of that first special, yeah. it was like, it's fucking ridiculous. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But this is what Doctor Who should be. The first special was great. The second special was fucking phenomenal, considering it is David Tennant and Catherine Tate. That's it, on a spaceship. The final one with the regeneration, I had issues with the regeneration thing, but Chuty looks like he's going to be fucking phenomenal. And then the Christmas special was fucking batshit again. It's got a massive budget heap because Disney Plus have bought it for America.
I did not know that.
Oh, wow.
So apparently, like, the budget is almost like £1 million per episode now, which under the BBC, it was a couple of hundred grand. It's obviously still a lot. But within the specials, you can tell, like, the production values are up. And looking forward, obviously, we've had Neil Patrick Harris in the regeneration special. Jonathan Groff's going to be in one. They've built like a studio. They're all being filmed in studio, so they're being able to keep secrets,
yeah,
which they couldn't do before. And it's just, I'm so excited for May when series 14 fully starts. But yeah, I've got Doctor Who back, and it's exciting.
Who is the current Doctor?
Chuty Gatwa.
From Sex Education.
Yeah. I've been so like out of touch with Doctor Who, and yeah, it does sound like it would be good to get back in touch
watch
with it
the
again.
Specials are all, it's all on iPlayer. Literally every episode of Doctor Who that's ever been made is now on iPlayer. You've got the Whoniverse.
I don't have a TV license, so I can't watch it.
Okay. I don't know how stringently they check when it says, do you have a TV license? But
Ray, if someone asks you if you're a god,
you say yes.
But the three specials with David Tennant is proper like Tennant back in the day. He just looks a bit older, but it's just stupid again. Like the first episode, you've got like this alien that crash lands on Earth. Mm. The second episode, it's just them on a ship. And the third episode, you've got the toy maker back. But it's just, it takes itself seriously, but doesn't take itself seriously at the same time, which that was the problem with Jodie Whittaker. It was very serious, very like there was a Rosa Parks episode with Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, that was
kind
of...
And it was just
of,
like...
That was
And it wasn't
lame,
even... Yeah. I get... Because like, they went back, and it wasn't... Doctor Who, traditionally that would be Doctor Who goes back, accidentally stops her getting on the bus, and then the rest of the episode is him trying to recreate the moment. They go back and there's someone else who's dressed like a fucking mod, who's like a racist, but like an out and out racist, deliberately trying to stop Rosa Parks getting on the bus, and that it just felt so forced. It's like you could tell quite a good Rosa Parks story, but he was just so hell bent on messaging and like the bigots of the future trying to change the past. But yeah, it's...
Yeah, like I think ever since Russell T Davies left, the writing's never been that great.
I love
since.
The Matt Smith ones. With, I think Moffat and Capaldi, they were good.
There was good episodes here and there. Like all the Doctors have been great, like Matt Smith, Capaldi.
I say Jodie Whittaker,
and Jodie Whittaker was
doctor.
Like, I really liked her as a Doctor. But she's just, the writing's not been... that great, because also like the companions within Jodie Whittaker's one as well.
Yeah,
like, there were companions.
Surprisingly, yeah, Bradley Walsh was quite good.
But like, I just remember like it really suffered from a lack of decent like monsters, which is kind of a big part of what Doctor Who's
about.
And
even
like
when
the
they did that
monsters.
Big special Flux series, where it was meant to be like, oh, it's only six episodes for the whole series, but it's going to be like this big thing. It was just like felt so bitty and so, and yeah.
Speaking of Chuty Gatwa, Sex Education, the last series, is really really good. Like, just more Sex Education. I love that series so much. It's well worth a watch if you haven't watched it already. Gillian Anderson's great in it. What's his face? Who's the main character's name? I can't remember his name. Always. Asa
Butterfield.
Butterfield, yeah.
Also known for the Uber Eats ad at the moment.
He's really good in it as well. Just in
general.
Do you
eat food? Do you go places?
It's just really, really good with a really decent message. If you've never watched it, start from the start. You can watch the whole thing now. So, like, there's a great bit where the school choir's singing Peaches Fuck the Pain Away. And it's just great in general. It's stupid in times. Oh, I loved it. More Sex Education, better as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Anyone? I've got one more. Fall of House of Usher. If you liked Haunting of Bly Manor, if you liked... Haunting on Hill House, Fall of the House of Usher is the latest one.
What's it called?
Fall of the House of Usher.
It's got Mark Hamill in this one, isn't it?
It's got Mark Hamill.
It sounds like a documentary about Usher.
It's not. It's entirely based, the whole thing's based around Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh,
like,
for me personally, like, I've not watched it. My mum watched it.
Yeah.
Having my mum tell me what happens in it sounds more entertaining than watching it.
No,
because it just sounds mental. Some of the stuff that's going on there with the cat, and I was just like, I don't know if I want to see it because I think it will just spoil the picture, the images you've conjured in my head with this telling of it.
Let me put it this way: if something that happens in it, Steve could recreate in this room. That's all I'll say.
Before I hit the bag.
There's a cat. This involves a cat. And I'll fucking spoil it. He thinks the cat's in the walls, so he's beating holes in the walls with Thor's hammer. He's got a replica Thor's hammer. It's got the most gruesome death I've seen this year in this film.
What streaming service is this on?
Netflix.
Okay.
It's really good. I really liked it. So and it doesn't lay on the Edgar Allan Poe stuff that thick until the end.
Mm.
In which case, then it kind of goes a bit crazy. It's got Carla Gugino playing the Raven, essentially, in this.
So there's an Edgar Allan Poe story about a black cat as well.
Yeah.
About an alcoholic and a black cat.
Yeah. This is really, really good. Like, I really enjoyed it anyway, so that's worth a watch. And if you like the other ones, this is just more of the same. But it's got it's worth watching for this death alone. Like, it is. I don't want to give anything away, but you do kind of see it coming. There's like a little bit where they kind of go, okay, and you go, all right, I think I know what's going to happen here. And then it does happen. You're like, oh, wow. It's, really, really good. Well worth a watch.
I'll check it out.
I'll watch anything Carla Gugino in those. That's it. Round out 2023 in a nutshell on TV and cinema. I think we're all looking forward to getting back to cinema again for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Loads of good films out this year.
Lots of delayed films.
Lots of delayed films. So we might get some classics again, which I'm fine with. We'll round this out and we're going to try and do more podcasts, I think.
Oh, I just thought of something.
Yeah.
TV wise.
Yeah.
Warhammer.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. In what sense?
They're back.
In what sense?
They've put those shorts on the Warhammer subscription thing. That'd be like a TV show.
Oh, Prior Nexus. Yeah.
Prior Nexus.
It's really fucking good.
There's a Warhammer subscription.
Yes.
For what?
Oh, buckle up, Steve.
Yeah. Henry Cavill they're making a Warhammer universe now, is it?
Yeah.
With Henry Cavill in it. So these two are just going to be popping off like fucking fireworks.
What do you mean they're making like an actual TV series?
TV series, films. It's with Amazon. Yeah. Henry Cavill's like the main producer on it.
Yeah, this is a massive.
Will he be in any of them?
Will
he be in?
Yeah, he's definitely going to be in them.
Yeah,
he's
a massive Warhammer. Who's he going to be?
What a loser.
Have you not heard the famous story
I'm joking.
Fuck you, Steve.
When he got he missed the phone call from Zack Snyder to tell him he was Superman because he was playing Warhammer.
No, he was playing Witcher.
No, I'm sure he was doing a raid on Warhammer.
Warcraft.
Warcraft, not Warhammer.
Yeah. So I know he's a bit of a nerd, isn't he?
He's a massive nerd.
There's nothing wrong with that because obviously we're all a bit of a nerd, but
the whole Warhammer thing is going to explode. It already has exploded. It's been massive this year. Like the actual game itself has been massive. So it's going to explode further when the TV series comes out. And one of the things it's not short of is a decent amount of lore. So they can...
I quite like the film they made a few years ago for Warhammer.
What's that? That's Warcraft.
No, Warcraft. Sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Stop trying to get involved.
It's all the same fucking shit.
If you want, there's a great series of books I could recommend you. It just so happens that they are 63 books long.
Fuck.
Well, read
I've
the
got
Bible.
Two kids, mate. I ain't got that much time.
I've only like read four, five of them. And I've not read any more of them.
The ending's famous, so everyone knows how it ends. Yeah. But like, they finally filled in the gaps. Basically,
how's it end?
63 books. Horace gets his soul and body annihilated by the Emperor, who in turn mortally wounds himself in the process.
So they both die.
Kinda. The Emperor's not dead, but he is a rotting corpse.
I mean, this all stuff serves as the backdrop of the story, where basically 10,000, like in the year 30,000, the Emperor was trying to basically unite all the human race, and his whole thing was like he wanted to make everyone atheist, he wanted to destroy all belief in religion. But then,
get beyond that,
But then after he gets injured and he kind of gets and he's left in this kind of comatose state, 10,000 years in the future, he's worshipped as a god. That's kind of...
He becomes the thing he hates the most. Yeah. The thing about Warhammer 40k is there are no good guys. Everyone is bad. The humans, bad. They are racist. They are...
it's like a fascist dictatorship society.
If you don't believe in the Emperor, they'll kill you. Yeah, you're all right, Steve.
I hate this.
It's good. I'll tell you what. I will send you a 45-minute video to watch on the whole lore of it. Okay. And it is well worth a watch.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Or I can send you the 5-hour complete history.
So a like. Five send them
on. Yeah, I was going to say. That's a brief the recap.
The 1-hour Yeah, the 1-hour Bricky video sums it up perfectly. It's really, really good.
Because I probably won't watch it for... Honestly, I'll admit this live. I don't care. Like, if anyone sends me a video on WhatsApp, it's more than a minute long. I tend not to watch it and just copy other people's emojis. The
TikTok generation, Steve.
Yeah, I can't be arsed with it. Like,
Ridley Scott hates you.
Yeah. I'm one of those sort of people. I go on YouTube. I use YouTube a lot. And it'd be like, oh, a 20-minute video. And I won't watch it, but I watch like 10 2-minute videos. Like, might as well just watch the 20-minute video.
If you genuinely want to ask me what TV I've watched this year, it's mostly YouTube.
Yeah, I love that. It's my go-to video watch.
Yeah, I don't really watch TV as much as I watch YouTube.
Right, we're going to wrap this up. It's quite late.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much for listening. Steve, Terry, Dan, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Bye, Barbie.
Bye, Barbie.
Bye, Ken.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hitler. it's just because someone compared it to that bit in Jojo Rabbit. If you want to contact us, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, at TMTOOH. That's the best way of doing it. We will be back again sooner than a year's time. That's what we're aiming for anyway.
See you next Christmas.
See you next Christmas, guys, yeah. But I want to do this every couple of weeks and just talk about the films we've seen at the cinema. Can you see roughly a film a week at the cinema anyway? I think we can do that.
And there's loads of streaming releases, aren't there?
Loads of streaming releases. We watched TV series, so even if we watched, like, say, hey, I watched an episode of Echo or whatever, we can talk about that as well. And if there's anything you want us to talk about, if you want us to bring back top fives, just let us know. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye. I am well aware that that says